Well, you know, it's time to talk about tax policy. But hey, don't change your dial. This next story is about whether some of Hawaii's most valuable companies should be paying more into the state's coffers. The corporations in question are called Real Estate Investment Trusts, REITs for short. And they own some of Hawaii's high-profile money-making properties like Ala Moana Shopping Center, the International Marketplace in Waikiki, and the Hilton Waikoloa Village on the Kona Coast. Now, state lawmakers have been talking about slapping a new tax on REITs for several years. Chris Benjamin is CEO of Alexander & Baldwin, also a REIT. He sat down with HPR's Ryanfinity to make a case against the new tax.
A real estate investment trust is a particular form of corporation that was established by Congress in 1960 with the objective of making the benefits of owning income real estate, income-producing real estate, available to anyone and everyone. So as you can imagine, most people can't afford to buy a shopping center or an office building. And so Congress wanted to have a vehicle that would allow people to buy essentially a piece of a shopping center, an office building, a warehouse. And in establishing REITs, they made several very restrictive rules. One is that it has to be very widely held. It can't be owned by two or three people. It has to be widely held. Second, it has to distribute at least 90% of its income every year. And most REITs, as a practice, distribute 100% of their income. And then that income is taxed, but it's taxed at the individual level. So there's a perception that REITs are not taxed. Well, the income is taxed, but it's taxed at the individual level as opposed to the corporate level, just like an LLC or other forms of partnership.
So just in the same way you could buy a share of GE, let's say, this vehicle allows you to buy a share of a piece of property.
Exactly. And it's typically not one piece of property. It's typically a portfolio of properties. So there are REITs that own hotels. There are REITs that own shopping centers. There are REITs like Alexander & Baldwin that own a wide range of property types. But typically, it's not one asset. It's like a mutual fund of real estate assets.
And you're not paying business income tax on those profits because they're being distributed to the shareholders?
Because they're being distributed, they're not taxed at the entity level, but they are taxed at the ordinary income. There's this notion that corporations aren't paying taxes. Well, in fact, the corporations aren't paying income taxes, but the rate of tax that the individual is paying is much higher than they would pay if they were getting a dividend, say, from a regular corporation. So if you look at the total tax that is paid on the income from a REIT, it's actually at or above the total tax that would be paid in a regular corporation because individuals' ordinary income rates are actually higher than corporate rates.
And what's the history behind this special tax status? Why, when Congress created real estate investment trusts, why did it build this in?
Well, again, the objective was to give the average investor the ability to own real estate. And by structuring it the way they did, where they mandated that the income had to be distributed out to the shareholders, they couldn't then also tax the entity because 100% of the profits, or actually the rule is 90%, but the practical reality is that REITs distribute 100% out. They couldn't take 100% of the profits and make them distribute them and then also tax those profits. So that's why Congress set it up the way they did. And it's been in practice for almost 60 years now. It was put in place in 1960.
Here in Hawaii, what are some of the roles that REITs are playing? What properties do they own that people might be familiar with?
Well, as a preface to that answer, let me say that the REIT law has been extremely successful in allowing people to invest in commercial real estate and in raising capital to then invest in commercial real estate. So in Hawaii, about 44% of all households own REIT stocks in one way or another, either directly or through, say, a 401k or another means. At the same time, nationally, the existence of REITs has led to over $1 trillion of equity being put into commercial real estate. Hawaii has benefited from a significant portion of that capital coming into Hawaii. And to answer your question, it has driven the development of so many places that I think everybody will recognize. In the retail world, there's the Kamakana Ali'i Mall out on the west side that was built by a REIT. This expansion of Ala Moana Shopping Center, the International Marketplace, but also in other asset classes. For example, affordable rental housing, the Kapolei Lofts out in Kapolei, developed by a REIT. Moanalua Hillside affordable rental housing, also developed by a REIT. The recent announcement that the 1132 Bishop building is going to be converted to affordable rental housing, that's being done by a REIT. The new Hale Mahana, which is the UH student housing, developed by a REIT. So there are many, many examples in just the last few years of significant investment by REITs in Hawaii. That has driven tremendous number of construction jobs, a tremendous increase in the tax base, and it's really had a very positive effect on the state through all of that spending.
So the reason we're having this conversation is that there is a bill at the state legislature this year that would, at the state level, eliminate your business income tax exemption for REITs and tax it at the standard corporate rate for Hawaii. A lot of people out there probably hear some of those properties you listed off are some of the most valuable in the state, and some of the REITs in Hawaii are the most profitable local companies. From your perspective, why do you oppose eliminating this income tax exemption?
So the first thing I would point out is that when you look at the tax base that's created by commercial real estate, the vast majority of it is not income tax related. It is property tax related, general excise tax related, conveyance taxes, and then, of course, the taxes that are generated on all the employment that's created by these facilities. And so by focusing in on the income tax, we actually run the risk of impacting these much larger sources of tax revenue for both the state and the county. Now, the reason that imposing this tax and double taxing this REIT income would be a negative is that, first of all, it just is one more way in which Hawaii would be perceived as and would be business unfriendly. I think that it would be a negative overall for the state. But more importantly, I think that it would almost certainly reduce REIT investment in Hawaii. And for all the reasons I cited a few moments ago, I think that investment has been tremendously positive to the state and has produced benefits that go way beyond whatever minimal benefit might come from this tax bill. So to risk all of the hundreds of millions of dollars that these properties are paying and these owners are paying in Hawaii for the sake of trying to get $2 to maybe $10 million of additional revenue, I just think it's not a wise strategy.
So you think that you're potentially looking at a situation where this tax goes into effect and some of these properties, the owners leave? Is that
well? The most immediate impact would be cessation of investments, of new investments by these properties. So Kamakana Ali'i, for example, the developer of that property has indicated that they would not proceed with the next phase of the project if the law were passed. The Hilton Hawaiian Village has expansion plans and has indicated that it would not be able to proceed with it. So that would be the immediate impact.
Okay.
The longer term impact is that some of the REITs could choose to sell these assets, which could have a very negative effect on the general excise tax for some fairly esoteric reasons that I won't get into, but they were well described in the testimony at the legislature.
Is this something that has been explored in any other state? Because I know this is specifically a proposal for Hawaii.
There is one other state that has disallowed the dividends paid deduction, which is what this is referred to, and that's the state of New Hampshire. It's not a state with a lot of commercial real estate. They still do have some REIT investment, but if you look at their REIT investment as a proportion of their overall commercial property and you assume that Hawaii were at a similar percentage, it would result in a significant reduction in REIT investment in Hawaii. And I think it would affect property values, and it would affect the state economy negatively. The REITs give back a lot to the Hawaii community. Not only does A and B give a significant amount back to the community, but the individual REITs, like DeBartolo, who developed Kamakana Ali'i, have given significantly. The NAREIT Alliance, the REITway Hawaii, right, have given significantly to some organizations that you're familiar with. And I think that that's a message that's often lost. There's been a notion that REITs are greedy and are not supporting the community. In reality, REITs are very long-term focused. They cannot flip properties, and they are long-term focused and focused on communities, and they typically are very good investors into communities.
Chris Benjamin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
That was Chris Benjamin, CEO of Alexander & Baldwin, on a bill to create a new tax on commercial real estate investment trusts. The state tax department's own estimates indicate that the tax may not bring in as much into the state coffers as originally thought. Here's Tax Director Linda Chu Takayama.
Tax REITs here in Hawaii. The proponents of taxation are saying that it could bring in as much as $60 million, I've heard, to the state. Our own economist, his analysis is that it might bring in $2 million the first year, something less than $10 million in the out years. And even that's a little bit fuzzy because that doesn't represent all of the deductions that these companies could be taking. And so once you factor that in, the number goes way down.
Now, Senate Bill 301 is the name of that REIT tax bill, if you want to track it. It's expected to head to conference committee in these last few weeks of the legislative session.